Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Back to the book of Obadiah, the little Old Testament book that we've been studying on the Beacon Broadcast over the last several weeks now. I'd have to look back to see exactly how many weeks since we actually started this study. Looks like it goes back about 3 weeks. No, maybe four. And so we are continuing it on the broadcast today. We know that this book is primarily a book about God's judgment upon Edom, but it expands beyond that to God's just judgment upon all the nations. Principles of God's judgment that not only apply specifically to one nation, Edom, but also to all the nations, indeed to all people who are sinners, and that includes us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet the book is not all completely about judgment, for the final section of the book is about God's mercy. And so we are so delighted, so thrilled, so thankful, so relieved to learn that though we all deserve God's judgment, yet there is the possibility of God's mercy. God does extend mercy to some, and we'd better pay very close attention if we are interested in being a recipient of God's mercy instead of God's judgment. So that's where we are going today on the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, May 15. And many thanks for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Yes, there is judgment. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. That is, according to your sins, your transgressions, your guilt. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Just like Edom. Just like Edom, that is going to be judged by God and cut off forever, we read in verse 10. So the other nations as well that are guilty of sin, they too are going to receive the just judgment from God, and they are going to be cut off forever. They shall be as they have never been, but, and that's exactly the next word that comes in verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And that's just verses 17 and 18. We will go on to verses 19, 20, and 21 at a future time. But what are we seeing here? Well, we are seeing that though there is promised judgment, which is deserved, there is also promised mercy, which is undeserved. And as the promised judgment relates to Mount Zion, the mountain of God, where Edom and the nations drink the cup of God's wrath, so God's mercy in salvation also relates to Mount Zion. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And the mercy of God that relates to Mount Zion, which is, we would called that today Mount Calvary, same location. Mount Zion, the holy mountain of God. Calvary, the place where Jesus hung upon the cross. It all relates to Mount Zion. And there on Mount Zion, God himself provided a substitute and poured out judgment upon his own Son. And those who repent of their sins and humbly seek the mercy of God, acknowledging that they deserve condemnation, but pleading instead for God's mercy, there they shall find mercy on that same mountain that speaks of judgment. Mount Zion is a place of judgment, the place of God's just wrath because of sin. Mount Zion is the place of mercy because there God pours out his just wrath upon a substitute who pays the penalty for sinners. But as we learned on the broadcast yesterday, not only does God's mercy relate to Mount Zion, but God's mercy produces holiness. It produces a change. The new birth, and this is what we are talking about here, the new birth, all based upon the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary and subsequent the application of that work by the Holy Spirit of God, who regenerates sinners, gives them life. We call that the new birth. That produces holiness. Holiness now, imperfectly, and holiness then, perfectly. It produces holiness. Every sinner that God justifies, he also sanctifies. That is so important to understand, and we see that portrayed here in the book of Obadiah. It's not spelled out quite that clearly. Obadiah didn't have the same insight that we have with our New Testament scriptures after the ushering in of the new covenant by the coming of Christ and his death upon the cross. But all of these things are foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and they are foreshadowed here in this little book of Obadiah. Yes, there is the judgment of God. Flee the wrath to come. But yes, there is the mercy of God. Cling to the cross of Christ. Embrace the God of mercy. Repent of your sins. Humbly ask God to extend mercy to you. But understand that when he does, he's going to change your heart. He's going to give you a desire for holiness, for righteousness, for obedience. He will make you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will make you a lover of God's word. He will make you a lover of God's people. He will make you a servant in his vineyard, in his work that he is doing in the world today. He's not going to justify you and let you continue to go your own way, unchanged, unrepentant, unconcerned about your sin. No, no, no. He's going to change you. He's going to make you holy. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. I know people who want the deliverance, but they don't want the holiness. Dear friend, you can't have the deliverance without the holiness. Don't come to Christ for salvation unless you want to be saved. And salvation involves more than simply escaping hell and the fiery judgment which all sinners deserve. But salvation is not only to save you from the penalty of your sins, but it is to save you from the power of sin, and eventually to save you from the very presence of sin. And it's going to change your heart. It's going to change your life. When you come to Christ, you will understand that things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, when I gave my life to him. Things that I loved before have all gone away. Things I love once more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened that day when I gave my heart to him. That's a simple child's chorus. I used to sing it as a boy growing up. And I realize now that it is very simple. And it doesn't spell out all of the truths that are involved in what we're talking about today, but it does emphasize this important truth that when a person is saved, they are changed. And the opposite side of the coin is, if there is no change, there has been no salvation. If there is no sanctification, no evidence of sanctification that has taken hold of your life and is working itself out in your life, then that is an indication that there has not yet been any justification. And nobody's going to go to heaven without being justified any more than anyone's going to go to heaven without being sanctified. That's what this is teaching us. But it goes on to tell us that this salvation elevates Israel, the house of Jacob. I'm going back to verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And it goes on to tell us, and now I'm going to have to summarize a bit. It goes on to tell us that Israel is going to judge Edom. Well, maybe I'll read this. Well, I read it a moment ago, but I'll read it again. That's what this is all about in verse 18. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. What's that all about? And you go down to verse 21, it says, then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Israel is going to judge Edom, and Israel is going to recover her lost fortunes. Remember, this rivalry between Jacob and Esau, which ushered on to their children, the nations of Israel and Edom, this rivalry, which went on over many, many centuries, and at times during that period, Edom seemed to have the ascendancy and Israel to be beneath them, and then things turned around, and Israel had the ascendancy, and Edom was beneath them, and so on it went, and back and forth it went, until the time came when the Babylonians came in and judged Israel justly for their sins, and Edom entered into that conquest sinfully. She should have been helping Israel, but instead she helped the enemies of Israel, and that brought the pronouncement of God's great judgment upon Edom, which would eventually cut them off so that they would be no more. But when this is all said and done, we are told that Israel shall recover her lost fortunes. Yes, Israel goes into Babylonian captivity, and at that time, once again, Edom is in the place of prominence over Israel. Israel is subjugated by the Babylonians, and Edom is free and has joined in the conquest of Israel. But that's not the end of the story. And before it's all over, it's going to be turned around again with Israel on top, and this time, forever. No recovery of Edom, but there will be the ascendancy of Israel. We'll have to look at that a little more closely next week, and I trust you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.